Okay, 2.5 minutes. 2.5 minutes. Okay, let's, how did you get through all the questions or half of them, or how'd you do? Feel like you got it covered fairly well, or was it too big a rush? Okay, well, what I'd like to do now is have each group kind of answer a couple of the questions and maybe contribute more things to the list up there. So the last question that the Philippians people had was, much of Philippians 1 is a prayer. How do you think Paul would instruct us to pray about our feelings and attitudes towards death? Any thoughts on that?
But I can say it out loud. I think the way Paul is describing how he feels and how he's not working. Let me say it out loud then, because I don't think it's working. No, I think it is. No, it's not. Okay, so I was saying that the way Paul is describing himself and how he feels about death, and the struggles that he has in his life, it's very straightforward. He's very blunt and honest on how he's feeling. So I think what he would instruct us, or the church in Philippians, is to be honest how you feel and what are your struggles, and present that to God, because God knows our hearts much more than we can express. So be honest about what are your troubles in life, what is your joy, and what are and how you are feeling.
Okay, great. Okay, for the Philippians group, was there any question that you were kind of surprised at the answer that you came up with? Okay, anything that impressed you most about what Paul's attitude towards death was? What was unexpected?
I don't know if you guys are like me, but I'm scared of death itself, right? The process of dying. Paul wasn't. Clearly to him, dying was gain, right? And he wasn't afraid of whatever that process was going to be.
Okay, any other particular thoughts that somebody would like to make?
I think that Paul's discussion attitude toward death in this passage really, it mirrored a lot of discussion that we had here, you know, this, especially the tension in Paul's attitude and desire to be with Christ, but also desire to continue the work that God had put before him here on earth. That was echoed in a lot of our discussion here.
Okay.
It's just a very practical, relatable.
Okay, good. All right. Anybody else got something that they're burning to say? Okay. I think one of the really good things about what Paul is dealing with is that we also have difficulties with is this whole idea of when. You know, we expect death, but part of us kind of doesn't understand when somebody's taken in a surprising way, or on the other hand, when some people live on forever in all kinds of pain, and why doesn't the Lord go ahead and take them? But I think in reading Paul here, what we see is that in the last analysis, the only understanding or solution we come to is in Christ himself, which was where Paul clearly was. Okay, for the second group, hope for new bodies. All right, same thing there. You know, what impressed you about what Paul says for his hope in a new body? Maybe the question, ask it this way. How hard is it for you to think about those things that are going to last forever versus problems you have today?
I think in this passage, 2 Corinthians 4 and 5, one of the themes, you know, is the what he calls the momentary affliction compared to the eternal weight of glory. I guess it doesn't feel that way in our lifetime, and it's a momentary affliction, but yet in comparison for Paul with his understanding of the eternal weight of glory, it is by comparison momentary, both in time and in quality, I guess, in the qualitative nature of both our present existence and our future one. But I think also he saw that the two processes are going on. Our mortal body is fading and wasting away, and yet the inner self is being renewed day by day, and that seems to be the key also to understanding, having this understanding of the idea of this life and the life to come.
Okay, good. That's the kind of thing that, you know, on our average daily way of operating, we don't think about it, but maybe, you know, this is a reminder that we should think about those kinds of things. Okay, anything you'd like to add to that list up there of principles that you got out of this passage that would be appropriate?
Thank you. forgiving attitude.
Okay. Anybody have any thoughts on the Johnny quotes for your group? Yeah.
I think, you know, she was only 18. She was only 18 when she had her accident. She was a very young, lively, active girl, and to be put into a body that was totally paralyzed. I know she railed at first at God and the, you know, the lack of being able to do anything again, but yet she has grown so close to God through the years. And I think if we have an attitude like hers when we have our afflictions in this life, you know, while we're still alive and moving, I think that's the kind of attitude we'll have in our dying process. You know, if we... She praises God now for being crippled.
Yeah. You know,
and if we can praise God in our afflictions, we can praise God in our dying.
Okay, anybody else on 2 Corinthians?
One of the things we discussed is we always think of the dramatic things like John. We should. It's a wonderful book, wonderful life, and all that type of thing. But it doesn't have to be what you would think of as dramatic. We all know people for whom just the very act of getting out and going to church as you get older is very hard to do. And they could stay home very easily and say that they just can't get out. But they continue to do so because it means so much to them. We have people like this in our group. I can still remember my grandfather going to church when he was virtually deaf and didn't have hearing aids, and he didn't hear a thing that the preacher said, but he came out and he sat in the pew and he was at church. And that is a witness to how we should live our lives.
Okay, great. Okay, all right, time to move on to 2 Timothy, coming down the home stretch. Okay, the first question there I would ask is, what's clear in his writing is the confidence he has. And how do you think he developed that confidence? Okay, life experience.
Sermon this morning around the Holy Spirit's role in convicting him and, you know, bringing that confidence to him.
Okay. Any other thoughts about, yeah.
So I think.
Hello?
Yeah, it's on.
Of the scripture,
yeah,
know,
get it closer.
Faith in and trustworthiness of scripture and the God of God who is he is trusting in at that point. You know, he's actually about to die or he's facing death, and I think he gets right to the truth that you know, God's with him. But then when you look at, you know, with this verse 8. He knows that there'll be a reward, an award for him for finishing the race. And I think he understands that there'll be eternity with God in heaven. And so those things, I think, give him confidence, you know, during that time and when he's imprisoned here.
Okay, good.
So I would think that maybe one way of summarizing part of this is to see how much God is doing and not how much I'm doing in my life. What is God doing through me and through the circumstances of my life, rather than what have I accomplished, what am I going to lose out on, but to focus on what God is doing and has done, looking forward to what he will do also in that sense.
Okay. That's good. I'm adding that to the list. Anything else? Any other ideas along those lines? We're just got about a minute to go here. Kim.
I was thinking that sometimes we might think that we're supposed to have some great bright flash of light as we end our life. You know, we've been going along, okay, now it's coming, I gotta do something big. And I was telling these folks here that I had remembered about a monk back probably in the 7th or 8th century who was asked the question. He was the gardener for the monastery. And he was asked the question, if you knew that Jesus was coming back tomorrow, what would you do today? And his answer was, I'd go pull some weeds. I would do the next thing. Whatever your life is, continue it as if unto the Lord. Don't be worried about, oh, did I do enough? You can never do enough.
Great.
Relax in Jesus.
Great. Okay, well, we're about out of time. As you noticed on the sheets you got at first, I put the first and question and answer from the Heidelberg Catechism and from the Westminster Catechism. And I thought it's a good exercise, and you could call this part of an assignment, to sit down and read those this next week and think about, okay, how much do these things, have they influenced me, and do they shape my thinking about death and dying and living in light of death and dying? Okay, any other questions? All right, next week Andrew will be working more through Romans 5 and 6 and 1 Corinthians 15. So you could read ahead on those if you wanted to as well. Okay, call it good.